Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. Well, I'm a roadrunner, honey.
Welcome to the show, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries. That means it's drive time and prime time as we come to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. I am Christopher Hart. Nick LoCicero is back on the bridge tonight. 407-774-8255 is still the number. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so anytime in the next 2 hours. Well, at least allow yourself enough time to be able to talk. So we'll take those calls, and we look forward to it. All right, another beautiful day here in Central Florida, and boy, it is getting hot and heavy. Woo-wee. And if you don't believe me, all you had to do was turn into the American Adversaries 3-hour Sunday evening classic tour last night when Carl Jackson and I were going toe-to-toe at it, and we really enjoyed it, but I hope you enjoyed it. If you listened to the show, if you didn't, you'll be able to go to our archive immediately following the show tonight and be able to hear that and a lot of other things. We had several interesting guests on last night, including a fellow who's going to be speaking tonight, and he'll be over at the Fellowship Church on Red Bug Road. His presentation starts at 7 o'clock. The doors open at 6:30. Fred Saltgen is going to be there. Saltgen. And he's a counterterrorism expert, and he's going to be speaking tomorrow night. We also interviewed Melissa Coates, a bodybuilding professional wrestler, just got back from Japan, and as she just recently became a naturalized citizen. She left Canada and came down here. All right, so last night we were it was a lively discussion, let's just put it that way, and we're getting down to the nitty-gritty. So I expect this sort of thing, and it's going to get even more hot and heavy between now and March the 15th, and there's going to be a lot going on, and we're going to go over that here in just a few minutes. Of course, we'll do a little Super Tuesday preview. Tomorrow is the first of two actual Super Tuesdays. The second Super Tuesday will be 2 weeks from tomorrow when we will have our official primary. But of course, early voting, you could already do it by absentee ballot, but now officially early voting at early voting sites, which are pretty much all the branch libraries around the counties here, plus the, of course, the elections offices themselves. But the early voting officially started today. And it will go through the 13th, so you can either get out to one of these places and vote early at your convenience, or if you rather wait in sort of a ceremonial fashion for the 15th, you can do that as well. Or in case you want to keep your powder dry till the last minute and see what else is going to happen, and I don't know what it's going to be, but I can assure you something else is going to happen, because it seems like every day brings a new chapter, and we'll talk about that, as I said, here in a few minutes. Abe is not going to be able to join us tonight. He's been working real hard on some projects, and so, you know, of course, it's midnight over there, so he just didn't feel like he could give it his full effort tonight, so he's going to join us later in the week. Scott Miller of My Liberty Threads will, however, join us in the second hour of the show, and he was up at the George Festival, the George Fest, up in Eustace this past weekend, and did another one of his sort of informal, yet so far very accurate surveys, and he's going to give us the results from that and anything that the crowd was talking about this past weekend. At first, though, I want to talk a minute or two about the Oscars last night. Now, I don't usually, matter of fact, I can't remember when I've ever watched one of these programs as long as I watched last night's. I just don't. This sort of thing just never interested me. I didn't even know. I was sitting there admiring the theater that they were in, not knowing that they've been doing it there for years and years. I'd go, wow, this is a cool place. But anyway, that aside, of course, I tuned in, wanted to see what Chris Rock would have to say as he opened the thing. And then, of course, he kept it up all evening long. And at first I was wondering, do these people know what is happening to them? I don't know if you caught his opening monologue, but he was talking about racism in Hollywood, what he called, he called them sorority racists, where, yeah, they're nice to black people, but you can't be in the same club. I'm going, that's right, doofus. And guess what? Guess who they all vote for? That's right, liberal politicians. Guess what registration most of these people are? I mean, 9 out of 10 of them. That's right, they're all a bunch of liberals. They're your supposed friend. Now, I have to assume that they were smart enough to know that you were sitting there. I mean, they were sitting there as you were calling them racists. I mean, you were treating them no better than who's that fella? David Duke and Donald Trump? Now they're all in the same basket, I guess, right? Only theirs is a more polite form of racism, what he called sorority racism. And of course, everybody laughed when he made a joke out of it. And then he went on to describe what, you know, how Hollywood is more racist, or Hollywood is racist, and that is in that they don't discriminate in the sense that, well, except in the sense that they don't hire blacks. And they don't, hire black actors. They don't hire black technicians. They don't, right on down the line, they don't, he made a joke at one point, I believe, that it was easier to be elected, a black man to be elected president of the United States than to be the president of a studio, to be a studio head. And I'm not disputing the guy. All I'm saying is, these are your doggone liberals for you. Now, who's the doofus in this equation? The studio heads who've been getting away with this for decades, and you're still going to support their politicians? Or you, sir? And yet you come out and you make fun of them. I don't know. Maybe this goes on every year. They come out and they insult the studio heads and all that. It seemed to me, though, to be sort of an odd twist of fate, if you will. And there have, of course, been very successful black actors and black entertainers and black media celebrities. Oprah Winfrey, of course, is the top, probably one of them all. I believe just last year or the year before that the highest paid actor in Hollywood was Samuel L. Jackson. Last time I looked, he wasn't white. So it just seems that, here they are looking at what they describe as racism, and I'm not going to argue with the point because it's not the what I believe feel to be the main issue here. And yet the people that have institutionalized that form of sorority racism are a bunch of doggone liberals. Now, maybe they intended when they started out that it wasn't going to be that way. But since black people don't seem to care who the liberals trot out as a candidate, they're going to vote for them no matter what. After a while, I reckon you kind of just sort of take them for granted. Maybe that's what they've done in Hollywood. They've taken them for granted until now. And the president of the, I guess, the Academy Association or whatever it was, she trotted out there, I guess, about halfway through. And made a little statement that going forward, they're going to seek to make Hollywood out there more racially diverse. That'll be interesting to see, won't it? Because white liberals run Hollywood. So it's going to be interesting to see how these white liberals react to that. Because they run that town. Oh, yes, indeed, they do. So I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it. If you got any thoughts on it, but it was comical. But you know, at the same time, he's sitting there. You know, you're all a bunch of racists, and he was telling them in front of the world. So I don't know. I kind of got a kick out of it. All right. Anyway, tomorrow is Super Tuesday. And the most of the states that we will be seeing the results tomorrow night, the voting has already started a long time ago. They've been voting in Georgia for weeks. They've been voting in Texas for weeks. Tennessee, many of these states have early voting just like we do. And so it's probably not going to be a good determinant in terms of what happens tomorrow. In other words, whatever happens tomorrow, let's assume Trump has a big day tomorrow. I would not assume that means he's going to have a big day in 2 weeks. Because, as I said, a lot of the voting that we're going to see the results of tomorrow has already occurred prior to this last debate and the back and forth between he and Rubio in the meantime, mainly he and Rubio, Cruz also, of course, and the latest efforts to tie him to the KKK and Benito Mussolini and whoever else. They can conjure up to try to, let's just say, disparage this man. On the one hand, I can understand, I suppose, this tactic, but on the other hand, to me, it's a sign of absolute just utter desperation and utter bankruptcy of one's own argument as to why people should be voting for you. I've been saying ever since last June that if you want to beat this guy, you've got to outdo him. And I don't mean outdo him with insults like this Rubio is trying to do. I mean outdo him in what he's selling to the public that they are all out there eating up. And it ain't hard to figure out. All you got to do is listen to the guy and get his basic message. But oh no, no, no. See, these politicians, they know much better than this lonesome little old carpenter, you know, pays for his radio time down there in Orlando. What in the hell is he going to know about any damn thing, right? Well, I know Donald Trump's spanking all y'all's guys, you know. And it ain't rocket science if he's doing it right, according to you. So, yeah, I don't know. If you're going to stand there and say, you know, a con man and a doofus is whipping you, what in the world does that say about your talents, friends? All right, folks, we'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. And we are coming to you live, and we'll get to our latest app question. Speaking of Trump and Duke and all that nonsense, we'll do that as soon as we get back. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. I think those lyrics kind of say it all. We don't know what the next few days hold, but we're fixing to find out, ain't we? 407-774-8255 is the number. You've heard us talking about the WORL-FM-AM app. It's free. All you got to do is go to your iTunes or Google Play Store, download that doggone thing, and you'll be able to interact with the station. You'll be able to do that talk back feature, and you'll be able to participate in contests and a daily poll, which we now got back up and running since Nick's back. And Nick, what's today's poll question, and do we have any response yet so far?
Yeah, we've been getting responses all afternoon. The question today is, did Trump clearly disavow David Duke's support? And no one that's taken the poll has said yes yet today, but 66% said no, and 33% have responded, I can't hear the poll question. I have a bad earpiece.
which of course was part of Trump's response yesterday, to, or this morning, I should say, to this dust up. Okay, so we're going to be running that now. You said we're going to change this up a little bit.
Well, we decided to just run the poll. I'll start it in the morning, every morning, and we'll run them till 7 p.m. the end of the American Adversaries.
Okay, so by the end of the show, we'll have the final tally. All right. Okay, thank you, Nick. All right, and I'm not here to make excuses or try to defend anything like that, even though Trump did disavow the guy Friday, and he did do it a number of times this morning. I think Trump doesn't mind this sort of staying alive. I don't know. I mean, that's how he's been able to manipulate the media, and he seems to get away with it. We'll see if he can get away with it again this time. Anyway, that is the app question. You have to have that free app in your smart device, though, in order to participate in this poll and the polls going forward. By the way, real quickly, over the weekend, Trump did pick up some pretty important endorsements besides Chris Christie. He got Jeff Sessions, the Alabama senator. He got the Maine Governor LePage, who's a bit of a nut himself, and he got former Arizona Governor Jan Brewer, who some people might characterize likewise. So, no birds of a feather. And the CNN national poll came out this morning. Trump at 49%. That's up 8 points since this poll was last taken a month ago. Rubio at 16, he's up 8 points. Cruz down 4 to 15. Carson down 4 to 10. Kasich up 5 to 6. This is just a national poll, though, 1,000 people. But once again, it does seem to show that regardless, and once again, we'll see if this latest dust up changes things, but that he seems to get through these things, and I'll get to, once again, why I think that's the case. The CBS came out with some poll numbers also in Virginia and Georgia. Cruz is up very comfortably. He's at pulling 40% in those. Tennessee, he's up. Same thing. Texas is the only place that he's clearly shown running behind, and he's running behind Ted Cruz there. But it looks as though he, Cruz, and Rubio are going to split the delegates, which is going to happen in all of these states. You know, even Trump going to win these states, he's still, even if he wins them with comfortable margins, he will be splitting the delegates with these other candidates, which is part of Rubio's now stated strategy out there. This, as I said last night on the show, though, hey, you know, as far as I'm concerned, bring all these attacks on right now. I mean, let's get it on. I mean, and if Trump's not going to be able to take it, if he's going to stick his foot in his mouth finally one time too many, then that's what we need to do. We need to find it out right now. But here's the other side of that: if he withstands this barrage of attacks, political attacks, and that's what they are, then coming out the other side, the people who are behind these attacks are going to have a real tough decision to make, because there will not be bringing the party back together if this is they're going to be their way about going about this. And I'll elaborate on that a little bit. But I just want to get back to why I think Trump is successful and what these other guys are missing. And what all of you folks out there, and Carl and I were going round and round about this last night. He's put out a very, very well thought out and written Facebook posting on Carl Jackson Show on Facebook. Excuse me, Carl Jackson Radio on Facebook. Carl Jackson Radio on Facebook, where he lays out the case against Rubio and against Trump. But I think they're missing the point. Cruz has won the argument when it comes to who is the most conservative, who is the true blue conservative. There is no question. 70% and more in the polls all say Ted Cruz. He's the most conservative guy. Well, then you must ask yourself, why then is the party not backing him en masse? Why is it that is Donald Trump way out in the front, getting similar numbers to what a fellow by the name of Mitt Romney got 4 years ago in this process and actually showing better performance? Why? Well, I guess then there's, I guess supposedly, let's just say there may be two possible answers. One, which probably there's a degree of truth to, and that is that he is not the best of messengers. Now, having said that, you might say, well, then by God Almighty, neither is Donald Trump. Look at him. He's now messed and got tied up with the KKK and all this other nonsense. All right. So maybe that kind of, you know, sort of in a way balances out. So what is the other factor that would cause evangelical Christians and conservatives and men, women, every age group, pretty much the only demographic that he doesn't own is the highly educated, those with advanced degrees and more. And everybody else, though, he's winning this thing. You must ask yourself, why? Why is that? And you cannot comfort yourself with the excuse, if you will, that there are tens of millions of people being conned by this guy. Well, we'll talk more about it on the other side. Hillary back in her, well, never mind. Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. That is Hillary doing the orphan there. 407-774-8255 is the number. I got a couple of calls, and I will get to you gentlemen here in a moment.
Sorry, I haven't heard that in a week. I needed to put that in.
Oh, we love it. We're going to keep running that. I mean, we wore it out last week. Let's put it that way. That's Nick LoCicero back on the bridge, by the way. I want to try to even simplify it a little bit more as to why Trump is being successful. All right? And I'm going to borrow a little bit from my dear friend Rosa Lee. All right? First, and this is a point that she made, he's giving people who feel like they have been disenfranchised, who nobody speaks for them, he's giving them a voice. Now, you might sit there and say, oh, man, look at the voice. Give it. Doesn't matter. What matters is they feel like he is speaking for them when no one else has. Now, it's not up to them to decide just because Ted Cruz is the best conservative that he is going to fulfill that role. No, it is up to Ted Cruz to prove that to them. Number two. Donald Trump, and this is why women support Donald Trump, even when he, you know, says things like he said about Rosie O'Donnell and whatever else. He is offering them security. Ring true to you? He's offering them security in various sorts of ways. Sealing the border, building the military, supporting the police, supporting veterans. These are all signs, and he's being a strong alpha male. These are all signs that he will provide security. And that is first and foremost in many women's mind. Three, it's sort of like, the Calvary. He's offering people the hope that relief is on the way. Now, you may sit there and say, well, my guy does the same thing. Well, they're not. Your guy is not convincing enough people. And that is the difference. And that's not Trump's fault. And it's not the media's doing. It is the shortcoming of these other candidates. If you want to sit there and say Trump is conning people and he's this and he's that and he ain't got big hands or none of this other nonsense, well, what does it say about your guys who he's trouncing? Oh, he can't beat Hillary Clinton, but he sure hell whipped the snot out of your guy. All right, let's go to Craig. Craig, thank you for holding. Mark, I'm sorry I didn't get to you right away. If you'll call back, I'll take your call. Go ahead, Craig. Thank you.
Yeah, he's going to release, he says he's going to release the 28 missing pages from the 9/11 Commission report. He's going to arrest Hillary and investigate Benghazi also for the security breaches and stuff, whatever that was.
Yeah.
And then his other endorsements, major endorsements, was Al Sharpton and Vicente Fox. If they're against him, that's an endorsement to me.
Well, I tell you, you know, as I've said on the show before, it seems like history is on his side. You know, he gets into this little to-do with Rubio, and he's got Christie there to back him up. And then Vicente Fox, you know, he's what did Vicente Fox ever do to protect the borders of the United States of America? And right. By the way, what did anybody ever take a look at what they do on their southern border, their border yeah. down there with Guatemala? Do you know what they have on their southern border?
Absolutely, barbed wire.
That's right. And they patrol it, and they don't let people just in and out, just any old body.
Yeah, so, and you're arrested and imprisoned if you go into Mexico illegally. Even an American citizen is arrested and imprisoned.
Unless they are allowing you to pass through to the United States, which they also do. How do you think a lot of these women and children are coming here from Central America when they do have this? Mexico is facilitating this. And we're going to let them tell us that we're not going to build a wall and make them pay for it?
They right, will, and Vicente they will. Fox was the president for I don't know how many years, 8 or 12 years, and he oversaw literally the collapse of Mexico.
That's right, with the drug cartels and everything, the massacre that was going on in northern Mexico with these cartels, Guzman, El Chapo. That's when they came into his heyday, when this idiot was in power down there. And I'll tell you another way that this wall will pay for itself. Let's just put it this way. Mexico will pay in this way. We won't have billions of dollars every year going across this border from the United States, cash money. I mean, cash money in huge pallets of cash going from the United, literally, going from the United States in trucks and train cars and such from the United States into Mexico. You won't be having that so much anymore because you won't have the contraband coming the other way. So it'll be, and people who don't think that he will do this, let me tell you something. Trump is making such great expectations. If he doesn't follow through, you're not going to have to worry about Mitch McConnell or the Democrats or any of them taking care of Trump. The people who will put him in the White House will put him in his place. So if he doesn't follow through with the promises that he's making. So that's another reason why I don't think people are fazed by what he has said or done in the past. They are saying, well, that's fine, but this is what he's saying now. This is what we want right now, and we think he's the one who will deliver. And in the back of the mind is the threat that if he doesn't, we're going to be even that much more upset.
But, yeah, I'm taking him at his word, and he says like 99% of what I want done is the government straightened out,
yep.
And all the corruption of the Bushes and all the other presidents, past and present, just over, you know, at least dug up and investigated.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, there's going to be a parallel investigation of Scalia's death.
Yeah.
A private investigation along with a parallel federal government investigation from the Supreme Court Department Security. Whatever that is.
Well, it seems to me that you would do that as a normal course of action, that a Supreme Court justice's death is not a routine thing that should be handled in a routine fashion like this was. And so that would make sense to me just as a normal course of procedure to do this. But, you know, what some of these things that you're talking about brings to mind something that I heard someone else say, and that is that one of the reasons why the establishment and others are so fearful of Trump is they can't control him. And in fact, they don't even know what to expect out of the guy, which is once again why I think he consciously does some of the things that he does that you would think, oh, this is going to hurt him. I don't think so. I think that it keeps his enemies guessing in a way. And but he is uncontrollable by the regular means of control in Washington, D.C., and that really puts the fear of you-know-what in these guys. And so that's another reason why they are fighting tooth and nail to defeat him. Anyway, thanks, Craig. I appreciate that. And Once again, 407-774-8255 is the number. And I want to get to this. Well, I tell you what, I'll take Tony's phone call, and then because I want to get to this idea of, quote-unquote, saving the party. I believe that's a phrase that Michael Medved has taken to using, and I want to talk about their method of saving the party. But, Tony, you are up next. Thank you for calling today.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you today?
Excellent. And yourself?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Listen, I you know, like I was telling the gentleman, I'm not a resident of Florida. I just come over here once in a while, but I do enjoy listening to you. You were making comments about Trump, some of the things why, you know, people like him.
Yes.
And I think I agree with you. I'm a Cruz fan. You know, I'll tell you that ahead of time. My only thing is I find that Trump just gets a lot of medium, which doesn't help the other guys either, okay? That's a little my opinion. It does, you know, even for the ratings. Like I tell the gentleman, I used to listen to Fox from morning till at night, and I hate Fox, the way they treated everybody else.
Yeah.
To them, it's Rubio. It's either Rubio or Trump. They use Trump for the ratings.
They want
Rubio to be the president. You
right.
Know.
Right.
No.
Yeah, yeah, you got it diagnosed well. As a matter of fact, Carl Jackson makes this point. He made it on the show last night. He makes it in his Facebook posting at his Facebook page, Carl Jackson Radio, how much more media exposure Trump gets than these other guys get. Plus, he had the name recognition coming in. Now,
sure.
I think Cruz had pretty high name recognition because of his filibuster and sort of the reputation he got in Washington, D.C. And Jeb Bush had name recognition, but it obviously didn't do him any good. But Trump obviously had tremendous name recognition coming in, and that's half the battle in politics right there, just getting your name out. However, I made this argument last night. We have made overtures. We've made numerous overtures, requests, please, if you will, to the Cruz and Rubio campaigns. And no, they don't want to be on the show. Now,
yeah, I heard you yeah. last night from Cocoa Beach. You're right.
Yeah,
I agree with you. I agree with you.
And see, they could have been on this show for months now. You know, Cruz did a bus tour through Florida. He should have been on every local radio station that he could be on in Florida. That's how you counter, Trump's national exposure. You go ground game. But I guess he was too busy doing other things. I don't know. But he spent his time talking to these guys on their national shows. Maybe if he'd have focused a little bit more on the local markets,
I don't take a lot of your time. And the other thing I thought when Cruz started hitting on Trump 3-4 weeks ago, I thought Rubio should have done the same thing rather than trying to hit on Cruz. They both should have, going after Trump, if that's what they thought, and then they both should have fought.
Yeah,
it's out. That's my opinion. I thought,
you're right.
I didn't like Rubio for that.
Yeah, well, you're right. It's once again, it's like professional wrestling. This is now basically a triple threat match. It started out as a Royal Rumble where you had a lot of people in the ring all at once and they're throwing each other out. Okay, and we're getting down basically to three left. And so those three can either fight and pummel one each against another, or two can team up against one and take that guy out. They had their opportunity. They seem to have missed it.
Right.
But once again, though, I really do think it gets back to the basics that he's selling what the public wants. And what they need to do is figure out what that is. And if it's snake oil and he's not going to be able to deliver what's on the label, come up with your own concoction and convince the public that you have the cure. He's basically selling a cure. He's selling a cure for the economy. He's selling a cure for the border. He's selling a cure for the military. He's selling a cure for terrorism. All they got to do is
hear.
That's exactly right. That's what people want, because that's what we want. We don't want.
From a conservative, my point of view, I hate Washington, what they've done, really.
Yes.
They made promise. If you can't deliver, then don't make the promise.
Well, and that's another problem that Cruz, I mean, that's a cross he has to bear, that even though he's an outsider in Washington, he's still in Washington. And so he's kind of, tainted that way. You can't go to Washington and not get soot on your suit sort of thing, right?
Yeah. So, listen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For taking my call. I appreciate it. And good luck to your show and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Tony. We appreciate you being out there. Having you in the audience on Sunday nights and during the week is what makes all this work. We appreciate you. All right, John, you are up next and you want to talk about our arf, 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 arf girl, Hillary.
Yeah, what do you think the possibility, Chris, that the Republicans aren't really pushing for the investigation of Herb Server and Benghazi and all that, because the go-along, get-along ones up there, they may have their own private servers, and their names may be all over her emails, a lot of them. There's a whole lot of people, the power brokers that be, lobbyists, whatever, that don't want their names ever to come out or be mentioned. So they threaten, they push, but they don't push too hard, and they, nothing ever seems to happen.
I think, actually, indeed, you're on to something. I think I've been thinking for some time now that one reason why this administration is, you know, every now and then they'll leak something about Hillary, but they've really sort of got lukewarm support for her. She knows some. She knows she's got stuff on the White House, right? She's got some dirt on the White House. I think that's part of what's going on there. And then if you remember when they were in the White House, you remember those FBI files, all those FBI files they got their hands on back then?
Right.
I bet that there's still some stuff out there that they got from way back then. And plus, everybody's in on this. They're all like a bunch of hogs at the trough. At the end of the day, that's what they are. And that's why you got a lot of these Republican establishment types coming out saying, oh, there's no way I'll support Trump. Mitch McConnell giving the green light to senators that if they want to actually run, should Trump get the nomination, if they want to run ads and run against Donald Trump, why he has their blessing. They're poisoning the well for this guy. And it's like if it's not going to be their guy, then it's going to be Hillary, and that'll be just fine with them. Then they'll be able to say, see, we told you so. We showed you. We tried to lead you around the right path. You went down the wrong path with that mean old nasty guy. Now you see what you got? You got Hillary Clinton. You're all to blame for this. That's their plan.
I think you're right, because I think they'll settle for Hillary in there.
Yeah.
To keep her mouth shut, or the one that they have to have somebody up there they can control. So they'll keep their mouth shut, and the dirty little game keeps on going on and going on. And that's what the American people are fed up with.
And that's why we have, I see it as an opportunity. Now, obviously, if you're don't believe that this guy is true to anything he's saying now, and there's plenty of reason for you to feel that way, I suppose. I believe that we've been given a rare opportunity with this guy, Trump, because he is... Because he is a wild card. He is a variable. All these arguments about, you know, he said this, now he's saying that, just proves that nobody really knows who he is. The only thing we have to know is what he's promising. And then the question becomes, can and will he deliver? And I think that he will, because he's got a huge ego, and he's not going to want to become president of the United States to be the worst and the biggest flop ever. And so he will work hard to deliver. And that's my opinion. And I just think that the Lord works in mysterious ways. And oftentimes he has used the least likely characters in history to do things that you wouldn't have expected. And I think that this is an opportunity here that if we get Rubio, we'll get the same old crap, just new flies. And I dare say, even if we get Ted Cruz, we'll get the same old crap, just new flies, just probably a lot more flies because the establishment will not want to work with him. They will try to crush him so that they can say, see, a true conservative can never really work here in Washington, D.C. They will work just as hard to crush him. And if somebody's going to get crushed, I'd just soon see it be the variable, the wild card, than the guy who is, you know, the dyed in the wool conservative. It's timing. In life, timing is everything. The bad news for, I believe, Cruz is this is not his time. The good news is he's only 44 years old. He's a babe in the woods yet. He's got a whole lot of life ahead of him. All right? All right. Thank you, John. I appreciate it. Got to take a break. I see I got some fella by the name of Carl. I wonder if I know who this Carl is. Oh, it's not Carl. All right. It's another Carl on the line. Anyway, you can give us a call at 407-774-8255. And once again, I highly suggest all of you out there, Cruz, Trump, Rubio supporters, everybody read Carl's Facebook posting. Very well thought out and very provocative. We'll be right back. the clown. There you go. Send in the clowns. Did you hear about the Koch brothers? The Koch boys have pledged $75 million to defeat Donald Trump, which is their right. That's their prerogative. But these are some of the hugest political donors in the country. And what does it tell you when they're going to spend $75 million of their hard-earned dollars, or however they get it, to defeat this guy? It tells you that they are afraid of him. They are scared of him. I don't know. Just a little something for thought. I want to go to the phone lines while we still have time in this segment. Carl, you are up next. Frank, we'll get to you after Carl. Thank you for calling. We appreciate you.
Hey, listen, I almost fell off the chair when you said Trump might be our man. You just mentioned the Koch brothers.
Yes.
They're not scared of Trump. They're scared of what will happen to our country if he gets elected. With two Supreme Court justices.
No, I'll put it this way. They are scared of what will happen to their country should he get elected.
Well, their country is our country.
Well, I don't think they see it that way.
If they have a different one than you or me, I'm sorry. But I can tell you why, myself, why I would never vote for Trump.
Okay.
I'm scared for the country because what will happen if he did win the election. Number one, when I vote for a president, I'm 76 years old. I'm a veteran, a high school graduate. I'm not highly educated other than my own reading.
Okay.
When I vote for a president, I look for what he's done and what he's doing and what he says he'll do. Trump has continually spoken out like a false person. I mean, when he said President Bush lied, which, because I'm not going to judge him, but and when he said that our pilot that got shot down is a loser because he got captured, John McCain, I said, are you kidding me? He just continually throws out this kind of stuff. When you ask him to explain his programs, you're dumb, you're stupid. I mean, come on. He's not a legitimate candidate. He's a narcissistic capitalist. We had
Carl,
7 years of a narcissistic...
Carl, let me ask you something, Carl. Do you, and you don't have to say who it is, but just do you have a favorite?
I'll tell you, I like Kasich. I do like Cruz. I do like Rubio.
All right, well, then let me ask.
Carson.
Okay, well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Why are these other people getting beaten by this man?
Oh, I'll tell you, it's easy. People come down here to Florida, to Orlando, and they bring their kids to Disney World. This is what they want the kids to see. They are so fed up with the news media and the government that they'll vote for anything that they think might be better.
Okay,
I mean,
let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Is that Trump's fault, or is he simply the beneficiary of that?
Oh, he's the beneficiary.
All right. I see all of your other points. But
well,
at the end of the day, this is why I say, in a lot of ways, history is on this guy's side, because the groundwork has been laid out before he got onto the national scene in terms of being a politician last June. In other words, all this that you're talking about, all this anger, all this disgust, all this frustration.
Who's responsible for all of it? President Obama.
Well, he's
and
a great deal.
Policy.
He's at least partly responsible for it, but another part of the responsibility goes to the Republican Party, who has not been adversarial enough against
him.
Washington, D.C.
I don't believe that the media is doing their job.
That goes without saying.
When was the last time you saw anything on the news about what bills have been passed by the majority-led Senate now that Obama has vetoed?
Well,
I mean, how many people know that he's already vetoed the repeal of Obamacare?
Well, I think that's
took over.
I think that's actually pretty common knowledge. And that's not the way. That wasn't the way to defeat Obamacare. The way to defeat Obamacare was by not funding parts of it. And they had their opportunity. They missed it. Carl, if you want to stay, I've got a hard break. You can stay. If not, thank you for calling. I really appreciate you being out there. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. see tomorrow night where this thing is going. We shall see, because it is the first of two big Super Tuesdays. There'll be a lot of contests in between. If we have time, I'll run through them. If not, we'll run through them tomorrow night. But tomorrow night, I mean, it really kicks this whole thing in gear. A lot of the voting has already occurred in most of these states. And, of course, early voting started in today here in Florida. Welcome to the show. You are listening to the American Adversaries. Thank you for tuning in. It is Drive Time Prime Time on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. I am Christopher Hart, alone in the studio today, but we got a lot of action on the phone lines. We're going to take care of all of them right here momentarily. Nick LoCicero is on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number if you want to get in on a piece of the action today. We'd love to have you join us. In the meantime, if you have already downloaded the free WORL-FM-AM app, you can participate in today's poll question. If not, then please go ahead and download that app. All you got to do is go to your iTunes or Google Play Store and search WORL-FM-AM, and not only will you be able to participate in poll questions, but there will also be contests and giveaways that you'll be able to participate in, a talk back feature. If you can't get through on the phone lines, you'll be able to do that at your convenience any time of the day or night, literally, and some other great stuff going on, too. But today's poll question, once again, Nick LoCicero is...
Yeah, we got a bunch more votes in here in the past few minutes. Did Trump clearly disavow David Duke's support? Heavily weighted towards no. 71% of respondents say no, he didn't. 14% say yes, he did. Uh-huh. And another 14% says, I can't hear the poll question. I have a bad earpiece.
All right. So the people are speaking. You will have until 7 o'clock to get in on that poll today. And then tomorrow there will be a brand new poll question up. And we'll give you the final results, at least right before 7 o'clock, before we go off the air tonight. So, all right. Real quickly, I just wanted to add this in terms of, it appears now that the party is in full bore, scorched earth mode, defeat Donald Trump, no matter what that means. Michael Medved is under the impression that if he can be kept to not getting enough delegates, 50% plus one, I believe it's 1,237 actual delegates, that then there'll be a brokered or an open convention. And then the establishment will be able to choose their guy and begin the process of healing and mending the party. Well, I'm here to tell you that if Donald Trump rolls into that convention with 1,000 or more delegates, clearly far more than any other person, and the party takes it away from him, well, don't count on all of those people getting in line and rolling over like sweet little puppy dogs after you've scolded them, then coming running back up to you for some loving. I got a feeling it ain't going to happen. And by the way, one last thing before I go to the phone lines. It happened again yesterday, and I guess it happened again last night. Yesterday morning on Meet the Press, Chuck Todd compared this process to what he called WWE Raw, said that Marco Rubio had taken up the Ric Flair mindset. He said, and by the way, he got it wrong. Ric Flair, who was a many-time WWE World Heavyweight Champion, used to say, to be the man, you got to beat the man. And I would think maybe Trump is saying that himself right now. However, he twisted around to say, to beat the man, you got to be the man, is what Rubio has decided to do. Well, lo and behold, last night, according to Nostradamus, I didn't see it, but comedian Ben Kissel on Red Eye compared politics to pro wrestling. He said Donald Trump is like The Undertaker and Chris Christie is Paul Bearer. If that's the case, Trump's in pretty good shape, because The Undertaker has been by far and away one of the most popular WWE superstars for a couple of decades now. That's right, a guy with the name of The Undertaker, who is one of the biggest heels in the business, is one of the most popular. Might tell you a little something about the human psyche there. All right, let's get back to the phone lines. Carl, you've been patiently waiting. Thank you for calling. Oh, no, that's right. We had you before the break. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I just had a quickie, but I forgot about it because you got me going with the convention. But I think maybe one of the best things could possibly happen is if Trump I don't know about the thousand, but just say, for instance, he has the majority, but they don't give him the spot. And he said he would go off on his own. That's probably the best thing that could happen.
Yeah.
Because unless Hillary or Trump or whoever the other third candidate is, unless they get a majority of the electors, the House decides the president.
Yeah, and that would
and
be
the House is Republican controlled, so
right.
I don't think they'd go for Trump.
No, but you know, I really hesitate to think all of his bluster, and he was doing a little bit of again yesterday. I do not think for 1 minute, and of course I don't know, but I don't think that he would run as an independent for one main reason: it would cost way too much money to win.
Yeah, his money.
Even though he'll spend a lot of money this way, he has a much better chance of actually winning than as a third party candidate. And if there's anything that, as I said on the show before, if I had to choose one word to describe Donald Trump, the word that comes to my mind is practical. He does what is practical to get the job done.
Well,
and that can be
mind,
that can be good or bad.
To my mind would be a New York liberal or a New York capitalist. You know?
Okay,
there's all kinds of capitalists. You know, John Huntsman Sr. is a moral capitalist.
Yeah, that's right.
I won't judge Trump, but he doesn't have a great history.
Yeah,
he's a New York Republican, which is a United States liberal. So
that is
New York. I lived there a long time, and I couldn't wait to get out.
I'm not going to argue with you there because you obviously know better than I. But I will say this in final closing with you, Carl. And once again, I want to thank you for calling and thank you for being a veteran of this great nation. That I believe that the system will prevent overload, if you will. In other words, should Donald Trump get elected president, he'd better deliver on what he's promising, or the system will kick him out. And it won't take very long for that to happen either. And the system will go on. I believe that our adversarial form of government based in our Constitution is bigger than all of these individuals put together. And maybe that's too optimistic. I don't know. But I believe that our system is capable of taking care of itself. It's gotten us through. We've limped through, but it's gotten us through 8 years of Barack Obama. And I dare say whatever else comes along, it will still be there to take care of us in the long run. I hope that's of some comfort to you. Maybe not. But anyway, I want to thank you for calling, Carl. We really appreciate you being out there. Frank, you've been very patiently waiting as well. Thank you. You're up next. Then Anthony and Al, we'll get to you guys as well. Frank, thanks for calling.
Well, first of all, I want to say I really appreciate the way you spoke sincerely with Carl, whoever he is. That was a really great call. And if he stole my thunder, I'm happy he did.
Okay.
I have the same feeling right now talking to people who like Trump that I had, was it 8 years ago when we talked about Obama?
Yeah.
You can look at Obama's books.
Yep.
And see a lot about him. You can see what he did, what kind of person he was before. You know what he did as an Illinois state senator. You know, with the Born Alive Act.
Yes.
And then now, if you look at Donald Trump's books, you see a man that brags about making it with really pretty women, important women.
Yeah.
You see him in The Art of Making a Deal saying, you know, go ahead and don't pay people. Don't pay your subcontractors. That's, you know, if you can not pay them, that's a good way to be successful.
I don't know that he came out and said, don't pay your subcontractors. He always says, though, you know, keep the advantage on your side, if you will. But obviously he pays his people or he wouldn't be able to do what he does.
Well, that's what bankruptcy. Bankruptcy
well,
is not paying.
Yeah, but that was different. That wasn't building projects. That was already running establishments. And I see where you're coming from. And and there are a number of similarities between Trump and Obama. They both are presenting, or he presented, an optimistic message. It was called Hope and Change, right? But nonetheless, it was an entirely optimistic message. It was a message presented in a way where you could kind of read into it more or less anything you wanted to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, though, Barack Obama did what he said he was going to do.
He did.
That's right. And I think that this guy will do the same. Because he, once again, his ego is going to be one of the driving forces here. And a lot of people will say, well, that's bad. That's bad. Maybe in most cases, yeah, but in this case, it's going to drive him to be successful. It's going to drive him to deliver. And if he doesn't deliver, he's going to be a failure and a bad one at that. And his ego won't allow him to sit idly by and let that happen. By the way, he's written a book called Crippled America, where he does go into some specificity. But basically, the running theme through the book is what you get in his campaign, and that is that, look, I'm a manager. I pick people to head up projects. I put them in charge of the project. I tell them what I expect as an end result, and then I expect them to produce. And that's the way he intends to govern. So when people think that he's going to waltz in there and start acting like a king, in the sense that he's going to set goals, yes, but in the sense that he's going to start writing a bunch of dictates and stuff like that, ain't going to happen.
I'm afraid you just don't know who he is.
I know who he is, but I'm afraid that people who are worried about him don't know what our system is capable of doing. He's going to have huge obstacles to get anything done should he get elected president. He's going to need a lot of support, and he's going to have to get out there and work hard to get it. He's not going to be able to waltz in there and be a dictator. It's not going to happen. He's going to have to work with other people. And if I were the Republican establishment, I'd start schmoozing the guy rather than insulting him. But that's just me. I don't know. Maybe I got too much Southern manners in me. I don't know.
You watch, once he gets the nomination, what they did to John McCain. I mean, John McCain.
Oh, before, no doubt. No doubt.
You know, he was great. You know, Chris
Matthews
had him on.
I know.
I
know.
He was popular in universities.
I know.
Got the nomination, and boom. And what they had to hit McCain with or Romney with, wait till you see what they have to hit this guy with.
I know that. I know exactly what you're saying. That's going to happen to whoever the Republican nominee is, by the way. They are going to be able to dig up dirt or make up dirt on any of these guys.
I think this dirt is going to be at the surface level.
Yeah, well, but perhaps at this day and age, it's not going to mean as much as it has in the past.
Well, you know, the thing is, I personally, in my own mind, my own hunch, said even a couple of weeks ago, I bet you they're going to find things with him with mafia dealing. Now, I don't like exactly what Cruz is doing and saying it publicly, but in my heart and my mind, I would, if I had to put, you know, money on the line, that he deal with mafia people and make deals with them that will look very, very bad. As far as the election is concerned,
we will see, because those allegations are certainly going to be out there. Cruz is suggesting that's one reason why he won't release his taxes. That's a stretch.
Do you really think that Donald Trump is a person who would not have made deals that were not good?
Let's just put it this way. It's my understanding that if you've lived in New York for quite some time, you probably didn't get your garbage taken out if you weren't dealing with the mob, because they controlled all of that. And you probably don't get any construction project done if you don't some way deal with the mob, because they control the unions, or at least they did. We talked about this on the show some last night. Once again, it's practical. I mean, you hire the union. And if the union's dealing with the mob, that's their business, because you can't build the building without the union because of state laws. So, you know, you're boxed into a corner. So what do you do? What do you do? And see, I think that this, people are going to be, I think, a little bit more forgiving this time, because I think that the angst out there, the uncomfortableness, the sense that we've been going in the wrong direction for way too long is so palpable and thick that people are going to be looking past a lot of warts. And that's why, you know, I don't think that you got to outdo him with what he's doing that people are liking. That's to me the key to beating the guy. You figure out what he's selling that the public is buying, and then you repackage it and you give him a better product. Duh. Okay.
Well, I
got to let you make one last point, because I'm running out of time, and I got a whole bank of calls.
I do appreciate it. I do appreciate it. Here's the thing, and this is anecdotal, but, you know, when McCain ran, I held my nose and voted for him, even for Romney. myself, and I know a lot of really strong, lifetime conservative, patriotic people, just like you and me, who are saying this as a matter of being a patriot, doing what's right, being a Christian, they will not vote in this next election. They won't vote for Hillary or whoever they throw up.
I understand. I understand.
There are many people that will not vote for Donald Trump.
Yep.
Be careful.
No, I don't know. I understand. But here's the flip side, though. If they go rubbing him out in some fashion where the electorate doesn't vote him out, mm-hmm. you're going to have the same thing on the other side. So mm-hmm. we've already gone way too far down that road. All right? So that's the lay of the land now. There's going to be a lot of hurt feelings out there, and that's the nature of politics. Some people will get over it. Some people won't. Trump, it seems to me, is the kind of guy who will take that and say, well, okay, well, then I'll go snatch me some independents and Democrats. To hell with them. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Frank, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's see. Anthony. Oh, okay. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll go right to Anthony and then Bob and Diane. So please stay with us. 407-774-8255 is the number. And Scott Miller's trying to get through, too. Keep trying, Scott. We'll be right back. Oh, I love that music. Welcome back to the show, folks. You're listening to it reminds me of a Charlton Heston religious movie, but Bible. Oh, did we lose Anthony? Oh, I'm sorry, Anthony. If you'd like to call back, I was just getting ready to go to your call. Okay, Bob, you are up next. Thank you for calling. I appreciate your patience.
Hey, good evening.
Howdy.
You know, first of all, a lot of these people say they're not going to vote if they don't get the person they want. Well, that's how we wound up with Obama. So if you guys want to put Hillary in and... by not voting, because every vote that's not voted is a vote for a Democrat. So if you want to vote Democrat, just don't vote.
I tell you what,
ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
I tell you what, I'll take my chances with Trump. I'll take my chances with Cruz over Hillary any day
right.
of the week.
I'll take any one of those guys.
You got
any
it.
Day over, yeah.
You got it, my friend.
Of all these Republicans that were so heartfelt against Trump, for whatever reason. Where were they for the last 8 years? How many phone calls they make? How many letters they write? If the Republicans had any backbone and stood up to Obama like Reed stands up to the Republicans, I mean, Reed's got a backbone like an iron rod.
He does. That little guy does.
He tells him right to the face that he ain't going to do anything to get any better. If the Republicans did that, Trump wouldn't even be in the race.
I know it.
He wouldn't be in the race.
You're right.
But because all the Republicans who are all self-mighty and self-righteous and all this stuff, I've got themselves worked them into a ladder because their pretty boy isn't making it. They're going to have to vote for the Republican, or they're going to wind up with Hillary. I mean,
well, you know,
is Trump the best guy? I don't really know. Nobody really knows until after it's all over.
Well,
but I tell you what, it's a countryside better than Hillary.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that that people are just getting really wound up. Obviously, once again, it's an emotional thing, and this proves my point that politics is got a lot of emotion involved in it. No matter how much you think you're rationalizing and using your logic, your emotion is still involved in this. If you don't believe me, how do you feel the day after an election when your guy got beat? Right? Exactly. So. I think that once again, our system will prevent anybody from ruining the country per se. I mean, any worse than these guys have already done, and you can't hardly do much worse than what they've already done. And that's what you're talking about. And we've talked about this on the show. What's that?
I know Democrats will vote for anybody, even if they agree on just one thing. The other nine things they could be against, but if they could be on just one thing, whatever it is, gay rights or this rights or that rights, they'll vote for the Democrat.
Yeah.
Republicans, if every spot isn't lined up, then they're not going to vote for them. Are you kidding me? This is how we got Obama for 8 years. How's that working out for you?
Not too good. Not too good. All right. Well, you make a great argument there, Bob. Thank you for calling. I appreciate you being out there. All right. Diane, you are up next. Thank you for calling, young lady.
Hey, Chris.
Howdy.
I just want to, nobody's talked about it. The awakening is happening on Saturday.
Saturday, that's right. You go to lc.org to get your tickets. That's Liberty Council is sponsoring the awakening this weekend.
That's right.
And I heard rumor that there might be some presidential candidates there. Do you know something
supposed
I don't know?
I have not heard.
Okay.
There has not been anything said about it.
I would think that they might be because, of course, you know, it's right in the middle of now we're voting. So,
That's right.
Okay.
And for the first time in my life, I'm going to early vote. In case I get hit by a bus, it's not going to happen. But
you know, I was thinking the same thing today. I've never early voted before. I've always liked to go on the election day. It's sort of a tradition thing. But this year, I thought I might actually do early vote because it's supposed to be busy on election day.
Yeah,
so
we shall see. It's always busy on election day, but
I mean, for a primary.
From some horrible thing, whatever.
Yeah.
I'll feel good about voting early.
All right, you get out there and give Ted your support.
That's exactly right.
All right.
Tomorrow, I
love Ted Cruz. It's just if I were his campaign manager, I would have run an entirely different campaign for him.
Well, you know,
but that's
we
me.
Have what we have, and I know that he's...
He's a great man.
He's my man.
He is. Okay. Thank you, Diane.
I love you, Ted.
Little Freudian slip there, eh?
Yeah.
All right, Diane.
And I love you, too.
I know you do. We love you. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
All right. I got Scott Miller on the line now, but I've only got 50 seconds in this segment. So, Scott, I'm going to have to ask you to hold because this is a hard break. When we come back, I'll be happy to take more phone calls at 407-774-8255. That's the number. We got a couple of open phone lines now. If you want to get in on this Super Tuesday Eve, yes, I'm loving this. And by the way, tomorrow kicks off really two weeks of almost daily elections. So we'll go over that a little bit too after this short break. Don't forget, you're listening to the American Adversaries. And if you haven't already, please go to your app store and download the free WORL FM AM app and get in on these poll questions like tonight's question.
This is former professional wrestler Roxy Astor. I love to wrestle, especially when it comes to politics. For the best in political professional wrestling, I listen to the American Adversaries on AM 660, The Answer, WORL. I'd go to the mat with these guys any day.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. We had another lady professional wrestler on the show with us last night, Melissa Coates, who's also a bodybuilder. That's right. All right, that was a lot of fun. Anyway, 407-774-8255 is the number. And don't forget, if you have not already, please download the free WORL-FM-AM app into your smart device. Just go to your app store, search WORL-FM-AM. And download that doggone thing, and then you'll be able to participate in poll questions like tonight's poll question. Did Trump do enough to distance himself from David Duke? All right. And by the way, there'll be a brand new poll question put up tomorrow morning that you'll be able to participate in. Scott Miller has been holding on the line now. Scott, how you doing? Scott Miller, of course, of My Liberty Threads.
How's it going, Chris?
Excellent. How about yourself?
Doing really well, thanks. Just came off a great weekend out there in Eustis, Florida at the George Washington Festival. Had a blast.
Yeah, actually they call it, I guess, the George Fest or something like that.
Yep, the 114th running of the George Fest.
114th running. It was a beautiful weekend. How was the turnout?
It was a really good turnout. They had a lot of the politicians from all over Lake County that are trying to get onto the ballot were out there. They all had, a lot of them had booths, or they were just walking around trying to get enough signatures to get on the ballot. So
right.
You had a really good opportunity to get to meet a lot of the candidates, so it was pretty neat. Daniel Webster was there also, now that I think about it. He was in the parade that they had there going through Eustis. He was on one of the floats.
Yeah, he's decided to change districts into a district that includes that area, I believe. I was reading about that in a paper the other day. That he's sort of moved northward, I guess, in his district. So there was a lot of people there, and did you move a lot of merchandise?
We sold quite a few shirts. It was, people were in a very patriotic mood. And even before they got to the booth and before they got to the poll, they were already talking and thinking politics. I was not too far down from the Libertarian booth out there, and I was just around the corner from the Republican booth. So it was pretty obvious that this was on a lot of people's minds. That's for sure.
Yeah, well, that's interesting because this wasn't a political event per se, was it?
No, not per se, but you can just feel the energy building as the election is getting closer. And I'll tell you, this is, listen to your show, you're so spot on with pointing out, as you always have, how this is so much like a sport and wrestling particularly, you know, and it's building to a crescendo, and it's still early. This is going to be a pretty wild year.
All right. Now, you did another poll.
We did another poll. We polled 175 people at the George Fest. Altogether, Trump had 46.2% of the votes. Ted Cruz was second with 21.6. And then Rubio finished with 16.0 in third.
Once again, you know, your poll is right in line with the Quinnipiac poll that's come out for Florida and some other polls in other states, which shows similar spreads.
It's pretty interesting. When you're taking a poll, you got to do everything you can to remain objective. But you can't help but notice when they're similar or how much they vary from the other polls. In this week's poll, Trump finished a little lower than he's been finishing in several of my other Florida polls recently, but it's still a dominant number, you know, and it's going to be interesting to see if it plays out that way when the election actually comes or if anything changes after tomorrow and Super Tuesday.
Now, of course, you did this poll this weekend, right? This past weekend.
Yep.
So it was after the debate. Were a lot of people talking about what went on during the debate?
They were. And you can really, I'm starting to feel like I'm getting people that are getting stronger in their side taking. But people, what I do is I show the results of the prior poll that I took whenever I'm out at these things. You know, taking a poll is one thing, but you want to give people something to look at as well so they can see how the people at the fair are voting. And I'm getting a lot of people that are looking at the poll and kind of shaking their heads like they can't believe it. Or they're looking at their poll and high-fiving their buddy.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
You sort of tell by the expression on their face who they're for,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And it's going to be fascinating to see if the people that aren't Trump supporters really will come out. You know, like what you and Bob were speaking about before the break, I think that's going to make or break this election, because the one thing that's for sure is the anti-Trump sentiment coming from the other side is pure. And there are people on the other side that will vote for anybody to make sure it's not Donald Trump. So once he's going to have to get his base, the entire, you know, other side fired up. And if we get to that much of a buildup, if it does become Trump versus Hillary, I think that's going to be a battle for the ages, not just between the two candidates, but throughout the country.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. There's no question about it. And the Clinton campaign is beginning to deal with the reality that they might actually have to deal with this guy. And they're not at all thrilled by it because, once again, he's a wild card. You don't know what he's going to do next. You don't know what to expect. And, of course, in politics, you want to be able to anticipate or control as much of the process as possible.
And, there's no controlling.
No, sure. Yeah, absolutely. And that's part of his, you know, that's part of his allure. That's part of why the establishment is afraid of him. And as long as that dynamic stays in play, he's going to be hard to beat in the primary. Yeah. We'll see about the general election. Your shirts, what's your most popular shirt going right now?
This week, the shirt that looks like a ballot and it says Democrat, Republican, and the third option is I want my country back. With that one bubbled in, that shirt was on fire this week. I think that goes part and parcel to what I was saying, that everybody is already thinking and talking politics.
Yeah, well,
and,
not only that, but I think that suggests that a guy who can sell himself as the outsider is going to have an advantage, right?
I think so. It was interesting to me how the crowd turned through the weekend. After the first night of voting, for the first time, Cruz and Rubio's votes together beat out Trump. And then the second day, it was overwhelming Trump, and there were much more votes on a Saturday than a Friday night.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, it just almost seemed like there was a liberal bus that dropped off a whole bunch of patrons for the event. Because it was just unbelievable, the people and the conversations I was having, how it changed day by day.
Really?
But the one thing that you saw consistently Friday, Saturday, and Sunday was people that are just frustrated with the direction we're going. So that's a common, you know, theme across the board.
Right. And that's why I say, if you want to win this election, prove that you are the one who will turn this country around. And it doesn't come from proving that you're the most conservative or that, you know, there's more to it than that, and that's why Trump's ahead. He's got enough people thinking that he's the one who can do it. Now, whether he's right or wrong, looks like we may find out. But that's you know, that's what he's selling. That's what the public is buying. If you want to beat him, that's how you're going to have to outdo him. So, all right. Thanks, Scott. We appreciate it. You going anywhere this weekend?
This weekend we've got, it's not the Plant City Strawberry Festival. It's the Floral City Strawberry Festival, which is up by Crystal River. It's on the west coast of Florida, a couple hours north of Tampa. And that's always a very good crowd. That's my whole saltwater redneck crowd, as I like to call them. They they always flock to our booth every year we go there. So we'll be taking another poll out there this week as well.
All right. Okay, well, we'll, of course, want to hear the results of that poll next week. And I'll be seeing you later on this week. So appreciate
Absolutely.
You being out.
I'll swing by.
Okay. All right. Once again, that's Scott Miller, My Liberty Threads, MyLibertyThreads.com. Great American-made hats and T-shirts made in America, American-grown, made in processed cotton. All right. So MyLibertyThreads.com is where you can find those. All right. So it appears as though the enthusiasm in Florida here is not ebbing. And now with early voting starting, these next few days, once again, are going to be crucial as to which way this thing is going to go. All right, I want to go back to the phone lines. Anthony is on the line. Anthony, thank you for calling. Appreciate you being out there.
Oh, hey, Chris. Love the show.
Thank you
for everything you do.
Thank you.
Yeah, listen, I just wanted to kind of weigh in on this whole thing. I sort of consider myself a little bit of an intellectual. I would have liked to have given some of your other callers some good old-fashioned, high-spirited, American-style debate. But anyway, kind of diving into it, my wife and I were registered independents, and due to everything that's been going on in the primaries, we switched our party affiliation, and early voting has already begun, and we really can't vote for Donald Trump fast enough.
Really?
Here's the thing. First of all, I'm a businessman.
You had me going there for a second when you said we really can't vote for Donald Trump. I thought you were going to stop there. You said enough.
I run a business, and for all the listeners that are out there and whatnot, they want to know kind of what's behind the mindset of people who would be voting for him. Look, he has a history of business dealings. Anybody who's in business, and that's going to exclude a lot of those lifetime career politicians that are on the stage who have made their money from taxpayer money. Okay, so that's just kind of move that over to the side.
Right.
Your career's not going to be exemplary. You know, you're going to have pitfalls. You're going to have dealings that aren't the best. You're going to have dealings that are fabulous. You know, that's just part of being a business person. I mean,
well, you're absolutely right, and you can't control always who you're doing business with.
I would rather have somebody in not so many words that's made a lot of mistakes and is road proven to be successful through the whole thing than a career politician. And the other thing, well, there's a lot of points, but
I agree with you there. We've had lawyer politicians running this nation, and they've run it into the toilet. All right, they got us massively in debt. We are very weak right now. We've had two terms of a liberal politician, and the people want something different, and they want it right now. And that's what and people, what these politicians are proving, and this is part of what I believe what you're saying, is that they have no comprehension of how the business world actually works. If they did, they would be tempered a little bit in their criticisms along those lines, don't you think?
Yeah, without a doubt. And your one caller was trying to make a comparison with Barack Obama's preliminary qualifications as compared to Donald Trump. And there's not even a comparison. Building your own business and doing venture businesses and having them fail and whatnot, and just collecting taxpayer money and, you know, political service. There's not even a comparison. And I'm not going to just completely isolate this to the Democrats, because in my opinion, you know, one of a billion, the past 8 years, 16 years, Chris.
Yes.
We have been predictably weak. We have been predictably gullible. And worst of all, with the way we fight our wars, with the way we deal with immigration, we have been politically correct. And it's just absolutely devastated this country. in all honesty, and this is the sentiment, a lot of people just don't want to come out and say this. All right. And I even got even more fired up after I saw the interview that they had with that ex president of Mexico. That's just another thing. I want to comment on that later. But going back to where I was going, first of all, to be honest, I kind of want somebody a little bit volatile in the office. That is the narrative that all these other countries are playing by. I kind of want somebody in there who people are a little bit worried about, a little bit scared of.
Well, that's...
We've had these politicians in there that are real nice and try to fight everything politically correct and be nice to everybody and take care. Where has that gotten us?
Yeah.
I want somebody that people are a little bit scared of. It's about time they are. And it just as a one side note, I got so steamed up whenever they interview some of these. That previous president is a Vasco.
Vicente Fox.
Vicente Fox. Okay. You know, the media, I didn't hear one of them say, hey, listen, guy, just kind of curious. What do you think about the fact that you presided over a socioeconomic disaster that perpetuated this horror of illegal migration that's caused all this controversy? What do you think about that? Did you think you did a good job as a president? Because I still see a lot of people born into poverty, dire circumstances, and even worse than that, where you've perpetuated a circumstance where they have to subject themselves to this because they have no other options. What do you think about that? Do you think you did a good job as president? I just get so mad. Nobody holds their feet to the fire.
I know.
I just get boiled over. Anyway.
Well, I understand.
Yeah,
I understand.
We're just going for Trump. Like, I know he's not perfect.
Okay. But who is? But who is, right?
Yeah. But I mean, he's my guy. That's all I got.
All right, Anthony. God bless you. Thank you so much. We appreciate your phone call. Have you called the show before, by the way?
Yeah, but I mean, he.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Anthony. Appreciate you being out there. All right. Let's see. Rick, you are up next. Thank you for calling tonight.
Yeah, I disagree with everything he said.
well, I'm not surprised.
You know, no, of course you're not surprised, because you know what I think. I can't curse on the air. But
well, good.
You don't think that your party has gone from the party of Lincoln to a party where the lead candidate doesn't disavow, no matter what he said, it was a very lukewarm disavowal. And then he says he didn't hear. He says he didn't know who he was. It's such BS. I almost said the wrong word.
well, I appreciate you not.
If you can't see through it, I mean, it's a disgrace. You go from Romney to this guy. I mean, Romney is a decent man. I didn't vote for him. He's a good guy. He's very experienced.
Yeah. Well, first of all,
your party is deteriorating.
Yeah. Well, look at your party. Look at your party. Your party is running a socialist and I can't say a convict, but a somebody who is run loose and free with American law.
Well, I wish John Kasich, if he won, believe me, if he won, I could live with that. But he's a decent man.
Well, we could all live with that. I mean, yeah, he's a decent man. Matter of fact,
your party are too stupid to realize.
I'd say out of all of the candidates, he's probably the most decent of them all.
I'm glad you agree with me on
but,
that.
But that doesn't mean he's going to win the election.
But didn't you see that lukewarm, I disavow him, okay? He should have said more than that, and then he lied about not hearing or not knowing who he is, because
I think I look at Trump, and it reminds me of the way he deals with the media and oftentimes with the establishment, like a cat with a mouse. You ever seen a cat with a mouse?
Yeah.
He plays with it before he kills it, right?
Yeah. He's going to do to the country.
Well, I don't know about that so much, but we'll see.
And you're going to have, he will not have the amount of votes he needs because of five people running, and they want to continue running. And
yeah, well, that's obviously now it's out in the open. That's the strategy of Rubio. Rubio's made it clear. I'm not so sure about Carson, but Rubio's made it clear. Medved's talking openly about it.
Everything Hugh Hewitt said, I agree with everything he said.
Hugh Hewitt has been predicting it for some time that there will be an open convention. All I can say is like I said, if Trump goes into that convention with 1,000 or so delegates and they take this thing away from him, Hillary will be the president. Because the party will not be healed.
Good.
Well, I know that makes you happy.
I hope John Kasich, people look at him and see, you know,
hey, who knows? Trump might pick him to be VP. We'll see.
I don't think he'd run with him. I mean, if you can't disavow somebody who was, as a Jewish person, he was the head of the American Nazi Party. And that's somebody he doesn't really want to disavow. That's disgusting.
He did. He did. He disavowed David Duke about half a dozen times just this morning.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of you know, distancing himself from groups or something like that, I suppose he left something to be desired. But he clearly disavowed him Friday in the interview. He clearly disavowed him again half a dozen times this morning on NBC's Today Show, and I imagine he'll do it again tonight on Hannity. He and Cruz are going to be on Hannity tonight, so we'll see what happens. Maybe he'll make you happy then, Rick. I kind of doubt it, though. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right, I got to take another break. When I come back, I got another phone caller on the line. 407-774-8255 is the number, but you better hurry up and call because we are rapidly running out of precious, precious seconds. All right, here we go with the last 5 minutes of the show. Tomorrow is going to be exciting because we're going to finally get some more poll results in, but en masse, and we shall really see where we're going with this thing. In the meantime, Sam is up next. Sam, thank you for calling tonight.
How you doing?
Excellent.
People keep talking about Trump, but sometimes it's interesting to look at history. There was a similar candidate years ago, bullheaded, hard-headed. Everybody was afraid of him. They decided to put him away by making him vice president. Unfortunately, McKinley died. He became president. That's Theodore Roosevelt.
That's right,
and
yeah.
He's now one of the presidents up there on Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
He was an alpha male, and I think it's time for an alpha male. Winston Churchill was another one, another alpha male. After the war was over, they dumped him, but a strong alpha male. Maybe this is a time for something like that.
Exactly. This is another, when I say history is on his side, he is clearly the alpha male in this race. There is no question about that. And given the shape of the world that we are in right now, much less Washington, D.C., we need a strong, powerful alpha male at the helm of the United States. And he appears to be the guy. I agree with you. And I'm willing to give him a chance. I mean, we've given politicians a chance for how many decades now? And what have they done for us? Not a doggone thing. So to me, you know, I'm willing to give the guy a chance. So, Sam, hey, I appreciate you being out there. Thanks for the phone call. Okay, we're just about out of time tonight, so let's go to Nick. Nick, do we have our final tally for our poll question today?
Yeah, just refreshing to get the most up-to-date results here. All right. So the question was, did Trump clearly disavow David Duke's support? And the listeners out there clearly are saying no, as that leads with 62%.
Woo-wee!
Only 25% of respondents said yes, he did.
Well, actually, that's gone up from zero at the beginning of the show.
It did. So maybe you've influenced some people. But only 12% answered, I can't hear the poll question. I have a bad earpiece.
Wow, and see, now that was, what, 30% when we started?
I think so.
So that shows that a lot more people are participating in this thing.
Exactly.
That's what we want, folks. We want you to participate. This is another way for you to have your say. And it is clear that you've had your say today. Don, you better do more. Just clear up this business, right? All right, and once again, tomorrow morning we'll be putting up a brand new question, and we promise to do that on a regular basis every day. So, and we'll have the results once again on the show tomorrow night. So please, if you have not already, get in on the fun. Go to your app store, download the free WORL-FM-AM app, and then you'll be able to participate in these polls, and you'll also be able to participate in contests and giveaways as we do those. You'll get programming updates. You'll get news updates. You'll be able to participate in the callback feature. If for some reason we can't get to your call or you can't call in, you can do that at your convenience, literally 24/7. So please download the free WORL-FM-AM app. And while you're at it, give us a thought as to why you might join the American Adversaries Army and help us continue to provide this program for you. You can do that by going to our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, which we're getting ready to change. But in the meantime, go there, and then you can click on the recruiting office, and you can sign up right there. It's real easy to do. And don't forget, as I said, Carl Jackson has written a very well thought out, he's a great writer, posting on his Facebook page as to why you shouldn't vote for Trump or Rubio. All right, we had it out last night on the show, and love Carl, and I, you know, it's you know, the free wheeling and free thinking that you get on the Salem Media Group stations is fantastic. You don't want us all saying the same thing. How exciting would that be, right? So you get a diversity of thought, and hopefully it's thought-provoking to you. Early voting started today. Please, if you're registered in the Democrat or Republican Party, get out and vote. Participate. This whole thing, the one thing that could truly undermine our form of government, our way of life, is if we fail to participate. So let's get out. Let's get our voices out there and heard in the forms of voting. Once again, early voting goes on through the 13th. All right, first Super Tuesday tomorrow. We won't have the results during the show, but we'll be talking more about it and the series of elections coming up until the second Super Tuesday on the 15th, which is our big voting day. Hope you enjoyed the show tonight, folks. Thanks again for listening. You have been listening to The American Adversaries as we come to you live every night on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer. Night, everybody.